We're in 1 John chapter 2 this morning, and last week we attempted to preach this entire message, so we're going to preach just the second half of what we planned to preach last week, and I did rework it a little bit this week. I didn't want you to have too short a message this morning, so anyhow, and I have a very difficult time just picking up a message and preaching it again without completely reworking it and thinking over it. But to get the context of what we have been talking about, and last week we announced the title Antichrist Awareness, and that'll be apparent again this morning. We're going to focus on a little different aspect. But again, to get the context of what we've been studying, we want to read the entire context, which is verses 18 through 27. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day. Thank you for allowing us to be in church today. Thank you for the strength and health that you've given us to be able to do that. And as Elijah prayed earlier, thank you for giving us so many things that we are able to enjoy in you, God, things by which we can enjoy you. And we thank you for the singing and the fellowship that we've enjoyed in this service. And we thank you for the opportunity now to study your word. We pray that this same Holy Spirit that we've been singing about, we just read about a moment ago, would be our guide and teacher in this service. May he just quicken us to explain your word clearly so that it would be received in good ground with understanding in our hearts and in faith. I pray that we would get more this morning than information and facts, God, that we would be inspired and motivated, Lord, to walk closely with you, to live for you. Please bless in that children's church time, and just help Brother and Mrs. Hudson as they minister to the children there. Let your word have free course and just reach the hearts of the kids. Again, thank you for this service. We pray that you'd be honored by all that we say and do throughout. And Lord, please do minister to your people today. And again, Lord, I pray if there are any here whose eyes have never been opened by the Spirit, Lord, would you please do that work today? That's not something that I can do or any preacher can do. But Lord, you can. And I pray that your Spirit would work in our midst today, draw souls to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Knowing that we're going to face difficulties or trials or tests or problems is not nearly as intimidating. It's not nearly as troubling to us if we understand that we will have all the resources that we need in order to meet and overcome that challenge. For example, Tanner, if you take a test in college, that thing doesn't have to be nearly as intimidating if you know what's going to be on the test. If you already know what all the questions are going to be, if you already know the information, and especially if your teacher gives you that test open book, right? Now, certainly it's going to require reviewing the information. It's going to require paying attention in class, but it absolutely can be done. You can pass the test. Now, in our text, as we began last week, John, in a sense, began explaining to God's little children, believers in Jesus Christ, a certain test that they were going to face. He told them about the coming of antichrists, that is, those who are opposed to Jesus Christ or those who would even present themselves in the place of Jesus Christ. John said, children, you have heard that the antichrist is coming. You've heard that antichrist is going to be here in the end times. And so now, even now, there are already many antichrists, so we know it's the last days. Well, the presence of antichrist, those who are against Christ, poses an obvious challenge, an obvious test to those who are Christians, that is, those who are for Christ. So in essence, John says, here's the test that's coming. God said it was coming. It's here. We're in the last times. There's the test of antichrist, those that are opposed to him, these false teachers. And in the Old Testament, it's interesting that the Lord told his people that there would be false teachers or false prophets among them. God didn't send them, but he knew they would be there, and he allowed them to be among his people to prove or test his people, to test whether they truly loved him, whether they would follow him. Well, the presence of antichrist who are against Christ, it presents a challenge for us. Obviously, we're going in different directions. We're loyal to Christ. They deny him. But this test that we face and will face doesn't have to be intimidating. It doesn't have to cause us anxiety because we have all the resources that we need to meet and overcome the challenge. First of all, we overcome this challenge by being able to recognize the Antichrist, in a sense, to know the test that's coming, to recognize who these men are. These men are obviously servants of Satan. They transform themselves to appear as messengers of light. Because of that, they're not always immediately apparent. They do not perhaps wear t-shirts, right? That says, hello, you know, I'm an antichrist, you know, speak to me, I can help you. No, they don't do that. They're very subtle. They go out from among God's people, and that means that they were at one time among them, obviously. And so John, as he began warning, forewarning, and thereby forearming God's people with this truth about Antichrist awareness, he first of all helped us to be able to discern Antichrists, to be able to understand and recognize them for who they are. And he gave us a few different ways by which we can discern Antichrist. First of all, by their departure from the true followers of Christ. John says in verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Most leaders of cults, if they have any kind of connection whatsoever through the name of Jesus Christ, have at some point come in contact with the truth, but they left the truth. So they depart from the truth. They deny the truth regarding Jesus Christ, his deity, his being the Messiah, and his being one with the Father. And they're not willing only to deny the truth and depart from the truth, but they deceive or seduce others to follow them. Verse 26, John says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So they're trying to pull others along with them. So we're able to discern Antichrist. Okay, this test does not have to take us by surprise. We're able to recognize these men, and perhaps even there are women among them. Now, for this morning's message, we're going to continue that theme of Antichrist awareness, and here we're going to see how God instructs us as God's children about defending against Antichrist. In a sense, he's shown us the test. Now he's going to show us the answers. This is how we can be defended against Antichrist. This is how we can answer the Antichrist that come. Christians are not defenseless against deception. We have all the resources to meet and overcome this challenge, to be faithful to Jesus Christ and his truth. And so this morning, let's consider from our text two means by which Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, are defended against Antichrist deception. What are the answers that God has given us to meet this test, this challenge of false teachers who seek to deny the truth. We'll note, first of all, the anointing of the Spirit. There's the anointing of the Spirit, and then secondly, the abiding in the Scriptures. So let's go to verse 20. John says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." So in contrast to antichrists who do not have the Spirit and who are deceived, believers have the Spirit and they know all things. In verse 20 and down in verse 27, John uses the word unction and anointing. Those words are, they both come from the same Greek word. It's this word, chrisma. Chrisma. It's the same word translated unction and anointing, and those words are used to describe the Holy Spirit who abides in us. Verse 27, "But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you." So every born-again believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 9 tells us that if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. There's no such thing as a born-again child of God who isn't indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Being born again is a work of the Spirit. It's the regenerating work of the Spirit. But He has been given to us as an anointing. He's been given to us as an unction. He abides with us. In John 14, 16, and 17, Jesus said, "Hey, when I return to the Father, I'm going to ask Him to send you another comforter that He may abide with you forever." He's with you and He's going to be in you. And it is this anointing of the Spirit that enables us to overcome the deception of antichrists and false teachings. Because this same anointing, the Holy Spirit, is given to, among other things, help us to know, to discern, to perceive all things. Verse 20, "But ye," in contrast to those false teachers and those who are deceived by them, "ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." This Spirit is given to us to teach us all things. It doesn't mean that He teaches us all the random facts in the world. It's not that, you know, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us and all of a sudden we ace all of our math quizzes, right? That's not what He's saying here. When He talks about all things, oh, we could go to other places in Scripture and it's understood then to be all things that pertain to life and godliness. But more specifically, He teaches us all things when it comes to spiritual truth. He enables us to understand all spiritual truth and to thereby be able to discern error. John 14, 26, Jesus said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you." So you've got antichrists out there teaching lies and errors, but God says, "I've given you an answer to pass the test." And the first way you're going to be able to defend yourself against that deception is I've given you My Spirit. He's come to live within you. And one of His ministries in your heart and life is to teach you the truth of the Word of God, to help you to understand and discern all things spiritual, and to be able then to discern error, to recognize it, and not to be led astray. God's Spirit teaches us all things. He leads us in the truth and thereby protects us from being led astray into error. And so as we, as God's children, live yielded to the Holy Spirit, as we follow His leading, as we are guided in the truth by His teaching, we are then defended against antichrist deception. John 16, 13, Jesus said, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." God's Spirit guides us in the truth of God's Word, and God's Spirit will never lead us contrary to the Word of God, regardless of how we may feel and regardless of what others may say. So we've been given the anointing of the Spirit to overcome the Antichrist. Now, there are a number of important implications in this. First of all, this means that those who have not been born again, a person who's not been indwelt by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, are deceived. That person is deceived. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that the god of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 tells us that the natural man who doesn't have the Holy Spirit doesn't understand. He can't understand spiritual truth. Beyond that, Paul, who wrote regarding the coming of the Antichrist, though he didn't use that title, he described that man in 2 Thessalonians 2. He taught us this truth, that those who reject Jesus Christ and who reject the love of the truth will be deceived by and receive the Antichrist and his lies. God actually says he's going to send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie because they didn't believe the truth. They did not receive Jesus Christ. And so a person who doesn't have the Spirit doesn't have this line of defense. And that's a frightening thing. The Antichrist, it's possible that that person is alive on the earth today. He's not yet been publicly revealed, at least as far as we know. He's not been publicly revealed. But it ought to be a frightening thing if a person is without Jesus Christ, they will be deceived by that one if they reject the truth of Christ. Now, as a believer, there's an implication here. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit, but unfortunately, the Holy Spirit doesn't have all of every Christian. In other words, a believer who lives grieving or quenching the Holy Spirit is in danger of deception because they don't have the clear witness, the clear testimony of the Holy Spirit. A Christian who is a disobedient Christian, who is ear deep in the world, may miss God's warning signs. Now, the Holy Spirit's given to guide us in the truth, to teach us the truth, to help us discern error. But if the voice of the Spirit is just drowned out by all the voices of the world, and you're just living apart from the Spirit's filling, you are at risk of being deceived. And this is why Paul told us, hey, be not unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Be filled with the Spirit. We must be yielded to the Spirit if we would be protected from error. And this is so important. And this is important not just from being deceived by someone that's out there that's an antichrist denying obvious truths of Scripture, but when we come to the Bible, we need to come completely and absolutely surrendered to the Holy Spirit if we're going to be able to rightly understand and interpret Scripture. We cannot come with our bias and say, Lord, this is what, I'm going to see here. No, it's open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Open my ears. Open my heart. Spirit divine, illumine me. We sing about the illuminating ministry of the Spirit. He's the one that teaches us spiritual truth. It's not commentary. Sometimes commentaries can be helpful. Many times they're not. Sometimes they can skew the way we look at Scripture. Like what one preacher said, he said, the Scriptures sure do shed a lot of light on those commentaries. Now, sometimes what people have to say obscures the truth. We need to be yielded to the Spirit. He guides us in the truth. In verse 27, John says, again, in contrast to these false teachers, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, the Holy Spirit. And you know all things. You're able to perceive, discern, understand spiritual truth. Verse 27 again. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. They're the deceivers, but, again, in contrast to that, here's the answer for that test. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and the Spirit will indwell us until the day of redemption. This is what the Scriptures teach. We don't lose the Holy Spirit once he comes to live within. He seals us until the day of redemption. He abides in you. And then John makes this statement, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And we need to understand from verse 27 that when John says that we don't need any man to teach us because we have the anointing of the Spirit, that John was not denying the benefit of godly informed teachers. There are those who will take this verse and say, well, this means that I don't need a pastor. I don't need any kind of teacher to teach me. I've got the Holy Spirit and I can do it on my own. Well, we need to understand that when John made this statement, he was primarily combating the false teachers of that time. And here's, they didn't use the title Gnostics at that time, okay? But it was the forerunners of a group of people that came to be known as Gnostics, which literally means knowing ones. And these false teachers would come along and they would say, yeah, you've heard those things, but we've got more light. We've got more insight to give you. And they literally taught this, that you cannot know the real truth unless you get it from one of these knowing ones. You've got to have one of these teachers. And there are cults today that will say, oh, we believe the Bible, but let me show you this book, and this book will help you to understand that. And there are cults that, again, claim some, you know, respect for the Scriptures, but really their respect is for what their false teacher has written, and they interpret Scripture and twist and deny Scripture based on that. Basically, John is saying this, we don't need them to teach us. We don't need some knowing one. We don't need a false teacher in order to teach us the truth. You don't need some Gnostic to teach you the truth. It was combating an error in that day. But it is clear from Scripture, and John himself was a teacher, and we'll mention that in a little while, but the Spirit of God gifts and enables men such as evangelists, pastors, and teachers to instruct us in the Scriptures for the very purpose that we might mature in the faith and not be deceived by false teachers. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He gave some apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Why did he give these pastors and teachers? For the perfecting of the saints, the maturing of the saints, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The fact is, those who do not place themselves under God-ordained pastors and teachers are at high risk for deception. We need those who are gifted by the Spirit, who study the Scriptures, to instruct us in the truth. So John is not saying, okay, so this means that you can quit coming to church and you can just sit at home and you can make it on your own. That's not the way God intended things to be. No, it's true. We don't need them. We don't need the false teachers. We don't need them to teach us. But God certainly has given us pastors and teachers to instruct us in the Word of God so that we're not led astray into error. So the first answer in defending against Antichrist is the anointing of the Spirit. We have an indwelling teacher to help us discern error, to guide us in the truth, to protect us from being led astray. And again, we need to be careful that he is not grieved or quenched in our lives, because God puts up the warning signs. He puts up the roadblocks, the speed bumps, and all these things. But if we're not being guided by the Spirit, we may miss that. We better be listening to the Spirit's voice through the Word of God. Secondly, the second defense is the abiding in the Scriptures. Verse 21, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And then verse 24, Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Father, or in the Son, and in the Father. A second line of defense which God's children have against Antichrist deception is by abiding, continuing, or remaining in the truth that we have already heard, the truth that we have been taught. Those to whom John was writing knew the truth. They had heard his teaching. They had heard teaching from other of the apostles and other faithful men of God. We mentioned this in our previous message, but most Bible scholars are in agreement that the audience to which John was writing was at Ephesus, the city of Ephesus. Okay, and we know a good bit of history from the scriptures regarding the church at Ephesus. And one of the most obvious things we know about this church is that they had heard some pretty good teaching along the way. They had heard quite a bit of truth. Acts chapters 18 through 20 give us these truths that this church at Ephesus was planted by the Apostle Paul. He was a pretty decent missionary, did a pretty good job founding that church. He started the church. Later on, a preacher by the name of Apollos comes and preaches there. And the Bible tells us that he helped them much. They're teaching the scriptures after he himself was given some instruction through a godly couple ministering there. So Paul had preached there. Apollos had preached there. While Paul was imprisoned at Rome, the Holy Spirit inspired him to write a letter to the church at Ephesus, what we know as the book of Ephesians. Paul also appointed his protege, Timothy, to stay and pastor there. 1 Timothy 1:3, Paul says, I besought thee to abide or remain still at Ephesus when I moved on, so that you would teach them the truth and so that they would not give heed to any heteros false doctrine. So Timothy was told to stay there specifically for the purpose of grounding these believers in the truth so that they wouldn't be led astray by error. Paul also sent a brother by the name of Tychicus to serve there, 2 Timothy 4:12. And later on, after Timothy has gone, John the Apostle, the Apostle John, and we get this truth from the writings of the church fathers, the early those that were believers and part of the early church. Anyhow, they wrote, and we get from their information primarily that the Apostle John took up the pastorate of the church at Ephesus, and he served there for many years before finally he was exiled to the island of Patmos, really as a form of persecution because of his preaching the Word of God. So here's the truth. This church has heard the preaching of Paul, Timothy, Tychicus, Apollos, and the Apostle John. They've heard a lot of truth. They have been grounded. They've been taught about the coming of the Antichrist, even lots of different details. And so John is saying, look, I'm not writing to you because you don't know anything. You know the truth. You've been taught the truth. And here's how you're going to be protected against error. Commit yourself to abide or continue in what you've heard. Let those things that you've heard abide or remain in you. Don't let that truth slip from your life, but continue in it. And as you continue in the Scriptures, you'll continue in the Father and the Son. And whereas the Antichrist go astray, you will abide. You'll persevere in the truth. You and I have been given the Holy Spirit. You and I have heard the truth of the Word of God. We need to be encouraged in light of this line of defense against deception. First of all, that we need to hear the Word of God as it is taught. God teaches us. He gives us warning and instruction through His Word. But if we're not listening, we may miss God's instruction. We need to measure everything that we hear by God's Word. We are able to discern error not by studying out what every cult teaches and every ism and schism and whatever else. we are able to discern error by knowing the truth. And if it doesn't line up with what the Scriptures say, then it's to be rejected as error. And again, this is an area where we need to be cautious, even when it comes to commentaries and things. It's amazing to me how many, you know, recognized authorities when it comes to teaching the Scriptures, recognized commentaries that have in them obvious, blatant errors. Like, we could even use the word heresy, and yet they're held up as like these great teachers. You know, we know he's off over here and this, but, you know, No, we need to be careful. We need to measure everything by the Scriptures. Isaiah 8 and verse 20, again, the Lord allowed false teachers among his people. He didn't send them. They went. He didn't send them. They taught errors, but he allowed them as a form of a test. And God gave his people the answer for the test. Isaiah 8, 20. He said, to the law, or to the testimony, compared to the law, compared to the testimony, the witness of Scripture, if they speak not according to or in line with or in agreement with this word, it is because there is no light in them. God's word, the Scriptures, are ever the standard against which to measure all teaching. Acts 17:11 says of those at Berea who soon became believers, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They heard it. And then they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. We need to receive God's Word with a ready mind. And then we need to search the Scriptures daily, not necessarily to critique, but certainly to confirm the things that we've heard. And we ought not to listen to messages for the purpose of, like, okay, I'm going to find out what's wrong with this message. You do that, you're going to miss a blessing. But we ought to take the Scriptures to confirm those things that are being taught. That's how we are protected from error. John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. We can't continue in Christ without continuing in the word. And that word continue, by the way, is the same word translated throughout our passage here as abide and remain and continue. It's all the same word. John 15:7, Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And again, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, he said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. They're going to grow worse and worse in these last days, deceiving and being deceived, but continue thou, but abide, but remain in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What are those truths? He says it's the Scriptures, the same Scriptures that you heard from the time you were a child. He says all Scriptures given by inspiration of God. And we ought to continue in it. In these days of deception, we need to be committed to continue in the verbally inspired, preserved Word of God. Finally, verse 25. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. Of all the truths that these believers had heard, the best news that they had ever heard was God's promise of eternal life. Those who deny the Father and the Son do not have eternal life. And their religion, which is based on a denial of Jesus Christ's person and work, can offer no assurance of eternal life. However, we who have believed on the Son of God, we who have confessed Jesus Christ, are promised eternal life from the Father. And we can have 100% assurance of that. Why would we want to listen to those who would rob us of that blessing? Ultimately, again, these cults, the Jehovah's Witnesses, whoever they may be, the Mormons, whatever religion you put it in there, they cannot give you 100% assurance that you're saved. As far as the Jehovah's Witnesses are concerned, there's a limited number, 144,000. They're the only ones that are going to make it. Totally twisting Scripture even to come up with that number, by the way. But they had no assurance. They had no promise of eternal life. False teachers, being led by the wicked one, come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to give us eternal life. He that has the Son has life. Jesus said, "He that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Later, Jesus would say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Only Jesus can make and fulfill that promise. Titus 1:2 says, "In hope or in confidence of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." I wonder, are you here today with that assurance? Do you know that you have everlasting life? You'll never have that assurance based on false teaching, a false religion that rejects the true person of Jesus Christ. But by simple faith in Him, you can know that you are saved, that you have everlasting life. In these last days, when there are many antichrists and much false teaching, let's walk in the Spirit. Let's hold firmly to God's pure word, and let's not be moved away from the promise and assurance of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that you have given us the answers for all of life's tests. And truly, God, it is an open book test. You've given us your word that we can go to for comfort and help and wisdom in time of need. And every day, Lord, it's our daily bread that gives us strength to continue on to walk in the straight and narrow way and to be faithful until your return. But I pray that you would use your word in our hearts this morning and that every person here would come to a right place in their relationship with you before we leave this building. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'd like to ask you that question once again. Are you 100% certain that you have eternal life? Do you know that? Do you realize if you're trusting in your own works, you'll never know that, because how can you ever know if you've done enough? And God does not have some scale in heaven that He's weighing your good works against your bad works, and if you do more good than bad, you'll make it. Oh no. When Jesus died on that cross, He said, "It is finished." There's nothing that can be added to it or taken away. The only way anyone here will ever have assurance, will know that you have eternal life, as if you simply trust in Jesus' finished work. He is the solid rock. Have you believed on Him? Have you confessed Him as your Lord and Savior? Does His Spirit live within you? I mean, have you been born again? Do you really have a love for the Bible, for the Word of God? Do you have an understanding of spiritual truth, or is it just largely an enigma to you? Is there anyone here today that would say, "Preacher, I believe that God is speaking to my heart and drawing me to Him, and I realize today that I need to receive Jesus Christ for myself. I believe that He is the Son of God just as He said He was. I believe that He died on that cross and rose again to pay the price for my salvation. And today, right here, right now, before God, as best as I know how, I'm saying, God, save me for Jesus' sake. I want Jesus to be my Savior." If that's your decision, would you quietly raise your hand? You'd say, "Yes, today I'm making that decision. I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior." All right, Christian, are you being led by the Spirit? Are you being led by the Spirit in searching the Scriptures daily? Or is God's Spirit grieved or quenched by some sin in your life? That's a dangerous thing. We live in times of much deception. There's a strong pull of this world that's ever pulling us away from God's truth, away from commitment to Christ. We can't live the Christian life in our own strength. Jesus is the only one who ever did it, and if we live it, it'll be His living it through us by His Spirit. Are you Spirit-filled? Would you commit today to walking in the Spirit and to continuing in the Scriptures? Lord, again, thank you for speaking to our hearts. I pray that we would put into practice the things that we've considered from your word today. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.